Oh, good morning, church. Like John said, I love the carols. I love the carols, and this past week has been packed with them. Starting last Sunday, we had Carols on the Green, which was really nice. I mean, it's great that both churches got together to put on this carol service for the village. It was also great for the village to come together and to be able to sing these carols, but also get to know one another and ultimately hear the Christmas story. It was fantastic, and it's always, you know, I'm looking forward to working more with Reverend Lewis at St. Swithin's and seeing what more we could do for our community. Following that, on Tuesday, I actually went to visit Christine at Sheridan House, and I was accompanied by Ruth Pitts from Exmouth Chapel, and she played the piano, and we did a little mini carol service for not only Christine, but some of the residents there, and that was a great blessing. I found that an incredible time. It was lovely just to see not only Christine, but other residents of that house being able to sing carols, and a lot of people spoke to me afterwards going, oh, I sung those carols as a child, and it brought all these great memories back, and that one was a really special and blessed carol service. And of course, on Wednesday, we had a carol service at Darts Farm, and that was great. I mean, despite the weather, tons of people came out. They moved everything inside to the cafe, and it was jam packed with people. And you know, it was great because we're singing all these carols, and you're getting into the Christmas spirit. And it was great to hear the bands, to have the choirs, and everything like that. But as I was, obviously, as I'm observing all of these things, I noticed that within the group there are believer and non-believer alike. There are Christians and non-Christians alike, all singing the same songs. But if you look at, when I looked out into the crowd, or when anyone looks out in the crowd, you can see a difference between people who are believers and people who don't. You can see there's a difference between how someone who's not a Christian or someone who's not a follower of Jesus Christ might sing these songs, these carols. To them, these carols might just simply be part of the Christmas season, right? The carols they sing might just be traditions that they grew up with, bringing back these warm feelings or encouraging them to once a year, share or give to people or do good things for others. Whereas for the believer, for the Christian, you can see that what they are singing, the carols and the words that are coming out of their mouths, is one of belief, is one with conviction and understanding the words, as John was saying, understanding the words of these carols and being able to sing and proclaim all about who Jesus is. It means something different to the Christian, doesn't it? It means something different. It means something different because we as Christians know that all of these carols, all of these songs that we sing are all about the good news of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of this Christmas story. It's all about, we all know that Christmas is about the manifestation of the being and character of God. That's why we sing, or that's why there's more oomph. There ought to be more oomph, should I say, when the Christian sings these carols. Because we know, we're familiar with the scriptures, right? We're familiar with the Bible. We're familiar with whatever tradition, Christian traditions we grew up with. We're familiar with these words. And so when we sing, it means something different. And so in today's passage, we're going to focus in on Mary's song, verses 46 through 55. But before we do that, this passage, we're going to look into why Mary sings. What's the reason Mary sings. But before we jump into that, I'm thankful that we were able to read from verse 26 and doing the whole passage of when Mary is approached and by the angel Gabriel, right? And the angel Gabriel goes on to reveal this massive truth to her, this great revelation, the greatest revelation of all of history, that she is going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High. She is going to bear the Son who is our Savior. She will be His mother. And this great news that's revealed to her isn't necessarily received with great joy and anticipation. Much more, she greets it in verse 29, it says she's troubled. She's uncertain. She's not sure of what's going on. She doesn't understand. In verse 34, she says, "How will this be?" However, in verse 38, nonetheless, she submits. So she gets this revelation. She's not sure what to do with it. She's uncertain. She's troubled, yet she still submits. But Gabriel then goes on to reassure Mary of all of these things and ultimately encourages her to go see Elizabeth. He doesn't directly say, "Now go see Elizabeth," but while Mary is wrestling with this whole revelation and everything that's going on, Gabriel goes, "Oh, it's Elizabeth." You know, he mentions Elizabeth. This is what's happening with Elizabeth. So although Gabriel's not saying, "Yeah, go see Elizabeth," him mentioning Elizabeth is an opportunity for Mary to go, "You know what, I've received this, let me go check this out. Let me go meet and see Elizabeth." And in verse 39 through 45, we see that Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, says some incredible things packed with theological truth that is... we don't have time to go into today, but hopefully sometime down the line we could really break that down. But in verse 42 through 43, she says something incredibly powerful. She says this, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Ultimately, what Elizabeth does here is she confirms, she verifies everything that the angel Gabriel has just told Mary in the previous passage. What Elizabeth says here verifies all of these things. And it's only until she meets with Elizabeth that the penny drops, that she understands what actually is going to happen. It's verified for her. And once Mary gets it, once she understands what's going on, she sings this song inspired by the Holy Spirit, and she sings from the depth, the very depth of her being. In verse 46 through 47, when she understands this great revelation, she can't help but say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Her whole being, everything, praises God. And before I move on, what I want to do is I just want to make a quick side note here to show how incredibly important it is for us as believers to meet together, right? It's so important for us to meet together because, again, in the story, it's not until Mary meets with Elizabeth that she understands what the revelation is all about. It's not until she meets with Elizabeth and it's confirmed that she gets that clearer picture of what God is doing and how He reveals Himself to individuals. But we get that confirmation from other people. May that be also an encouragement of a spiritual discipline. If you feel like the Lord has said something to you or revealed something to you, meet with someone else to see if that is affirmed, if that can be affirmed, right? Because just imagine if Mary went around going, this angel of God told me that I'm pregnant, right? We can see the issues there. But it's not until she meets with Elizabeth and what's going on in Elizabeth's life where she then goes and confirms that it's not just simply a vision, it's not simply just something that she's made up, but it's something that is true. But now Mary gets it. She understands. And so now she sings. And we will see why she sings. And we will hopefully come to understand why generations after her will sing. When we look at today's passage, we can see that she sings because of the truths she has witnessed. She knows what she is singing about. A lot of this song in from verses 48 through 55 are all pulled from Old Testament scripture. We can see hints and flavors of Hannah's song of and prayer of thanks to God after she conceives and has her son, Samuel. We can see that a lot of, there's flavors from the Psalms where Mary pulls from these things. And so Mary, we know that Mary is familiar with the scriptures. She's memorized it. She knows what she is singing about. She knows who she is singing about. And she is singing about the truths she has witnessed. And as she sings about three things that reveal us to us about who God is. In verse 48 through 50, Mary is singing about who God is. Who God is. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done a great thing for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. She gives us three examples of three characteristics of who God is. He is mighty, he is holy, and he is merciful. We see that God's might, even in the previous passage, and back in verse 34, where she questions, how will this be? And angel Gabriel says in verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. If anyone can do it, God can do it. Where we fail, God will succeed. He is mighty. He can do it. God is holy. We know that within our sinfulness, that God's holiness will always oppose that, right? It's not like humanity, like you and me, where if we are in a certain environment, right? And although it might be jarring by the language or by what we see or the, you know, whatever it might be, that we kind of get used to it, don't we? We get used to it, and then over time, we might even come to accept it. But that's not like God. God's holiness will always oppose our sinfulness. But that's the exact reason why he comes. That's why the exact reason why he's coming. Because of our shortcoming, because of our sinfulness, God is coming. But it's not to condemn us. It's not to judge us. Because we see the great lengths in which God will go through for us. To save us, to redeem us, which brings us to the third characteristic that Mary mentions here, that he is merciful. When humanity failed, God enters into our reality, not to condemn us, but to reassure us, to redeem us, to be our salvation. He sees our hopelessness and comes as our Savior from our destruction, from our evil. She goes, she gets it, she hears the message, the good news, she gets it, and then she sings with all of her being and begins to sing about who God is. He is mighty, he's holy, he is merciful. As we continue on in verse 51 through 53, we see that she starts to sing about God's purposes. She sings about what God will do. He will uplift the lowly, he'll scatter the proud. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Through Luke's account and through the other accounts of the Gospels, when we look at Jesus' life and his ministry, we'll see, again, as John mentioned today, this morning, that Jesus wasn't born in a palace, he was born in a manger. And in Jesus' ministry, he didn't go to the kings or the people of influence. No, he went to the poor, the rejected, the sick. We see in Jesus' life and ministry, the very Christmas story is all about how God is flipping everything upside down. He's saying that the kingdom of earth, right? The earthly kingdoms. They say those who should be uplifted are the rich, the proud, the strong, those who have all these things. But God is saying, no, the kingdom of God is going to be much different. Where he uplifts the humble, where he goes to the untouchables. We see that time and time again in Jesus' ministry. This is the heart of God, to go to those in need, to the oppressed, to the sick, to the poor. And finally, in verse 54 through 46, Mary sings about God's faithfulness. Mary sings about God's faithfulness, of how he always fulfills his promises. In verse 54, it says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. She goes back to the very beginning of the covenant. She goes back to the very beginning to see how God, over time, proves his faithfulness over and over and over, and he fulfills his promises as he spoke to our fathers, other translations say, as he has promised. So Mary can then say, I can trust him in all circumstances. I can trust him in all circumstances because I know he is mighty. I know he is holy. I know he is merciful. I know he has purposes. I know he has a plan. And I know that he is faithful. This is why Mary can sing. Even though when the outside world will look into her circumstances, she'll face criticism for her circumstances. Pregnant before marriage? Unheard of. She'll be gossiped about. She won't have much. Right, we see that when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, they're not offering bulls and goats, they're offering doves, reserved for the poorest of people. She won't have much. But even then, even so, through all of what she knows she will face, she trusts in God and says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. This is why Mary can sing, and this is the very reason why we can sing. As believers, this is why we can sing. No matter what darkness we face, we can sing. No matter in our loneliness, we can sing. No matter in the pain that we have, we can sing. Even in death, we can sing. When we lose hope, we can sing because of who God is and what he has done and what he will do. Whatever season you're in this morning, wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, may Jesus' first coming reassure you of his second. And I hope and I pray that in whatever season you're in at this moment, whatever you're facing, trust in God to know that he is good, that he is mighty, he is holy, he is merciful. And he has a plan. And one day, Jesus will return not as a baby, but in full glory. Jesus will return to make right all that has been made wrong. Jesus will heal all things. We will be given new bodies. There is hope in this season, no matter how dark things get. In all circumstances, we can hope, we can pray, we can trust that God will fulfill what he has promised. Let me pray for us. Lord, we look around, and as Lynn prayed, it's we're told this ought to be a season of joy, and we are told that this ought to be a season of happiness and warmth. But we look around and there's just so much darkness. May we, even though we face all this hardship and suffering in our lives, may we even sing as Mary sung, knowing what uncertainties are ahead of us, knowing what difficulties face us. May we be able to sing because of your great love for us. And may we find the joy and the hope and the peace that is found in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.